This evening I want us to read from the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, and we'll read together from verses 25 through 30. Jeremiah 22, verse 25. This is the Lord speaking his word of condemnation upon the kingdom of Jeconiah and his son Kaniah. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born. And there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return thither, shall they not return. Is this man, Kaniah, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This evening I want us to consider the word of the Lord found in verse 29, where the Lord says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So I'm taking that then as my title, Earth, Earth, Earth. And we'll consider what it is that the Lord says from these words. Before we go any further, though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord and ask him to meet with us for Jesus' sake. Our Father in heaven, now we would pray that you'll bless the word of God. We pray that thou will use it to instruct us, to lead us, to cause us to see truth, but more to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus to our hearts, speaking of himself, speaking of his work, speaking of his person, speaking of our place in him, and then what you might want us to do as your people. Lord, I pray then that thou wilt bless this time with the help of the Holy Ghost. I pray that he would be the one who would take the word and apply it to our hearts tonight and allow us to know the voice of the Lord in our hearts. Lord, to that end, I pray that you'll help me. I pray that you'll guide and allow my thoughts to be guided of the Lord himself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have in our verse that we're taking as our text a very unique and interesting statement from the Lord. There is no other place in Scripture in which the Lord addresses the sons of men in calling to them in this manner. O earth, earth, earth! To be sure, the whole of the context of the words which we are considering is the Lord's condemnation and pronouncing of divine judgment upon the people of Judah, and more particularly upon her kings that have left following the Lord. The words are sad and the words are fearsome that we have read. That a man would have God tell him that there would be no prospering in his day is a dreadful thing to consider. But then to have the Lord say that he will cast him and his seed out and have no pity is beyond dreadful. It is terrible in the extreme. For God to say so is indeed a terror that none of us would ever want to have to hear. But the fact that the Lord speaks in this fashion that we have in the verse of our text makes such an emphatically broad address out of those words as to make the words that he presents applicable to more than just this man in the house of David. Here's a great word that underlies the major issue over which God must deal with fallen man from the very first. In fact, the call to earth and not to this man's name in this verse is a universal condemnation of all that live or have lived or will live and breathe on this globe of ours. It is a word that should echo throughout the corners of the earth itself. Here is a great declaratory statement from God to all whoever has or will live on the face of the earth. His word is, hear the word of the Lord. What men are to hear are not the general niceties of God's word. The Lord is not calling us to just imagine that we hear the nice, soft, non-offensive things that you might find of love and giving and so forth. We are not dealing with the general niceties that are the imaginations of the self-righteous hypocrite. The words here is a universal condemnation brought on by the colossal iniquity and idolatry of those that call themselves the people of God. This is a judgment. This is a condemnation. This is an explanation of why God is going to arise and deal with rebellion as it really ought to be dealt with. You say you're being harsh. No, I will just say a very plain and simple truth. And this, I say, is what I'm going to try to prove to you this evening. And that is this, that man's great depravity of heart and mind makes him unwilling and unable to heed the word of God. The fact that you are filled with sin, the fact that your heart is utterly sinful, and you are depraved and walking after the way of your fallen fathers is causing there to be a deafness to the word of God, to the things that the Lord says. Now, I want us to take that thought and bring the words of our text to that thought and perhaps offer some applications that we may even see for our own hearts tonight. And I'm going to begin by addressing the fact that the Lord says the word earth three times. You might say, well, that's sort of interesting. That was unique, wasn't it? Yes, and I want us to think about that. And as we take that call, that phrase to mind, the first thing I want to ask is, in light of his using those words, who speaks? You say, well, it was the Lord, of course. Well, yes. But I think that there is much more that is suggestive in the fact that the Lord speaks to rebellious men with this threefold call. O earth! 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 And you say, what could be suggested by that? Well, I want you to see this. Perhaps you might say that it can be here a great display that each person of the Godhead is involved with the call to men to hear the word of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit offering the call, each one calling to those who are the creation of the Lord. Let me just simply say to you this. It is absolutely true that each person of the Godhead is involved in the reproof of sinful men. Whether it is God the Father who utters His judgment, whether it is the Lord Jesus speaking to those that He condemned for their hypocrisy, or whether it is the Spirit of God that when He comes will reprove men. All the Godhead is involved in the declaration of judgment upon fallen and rebellious man. We might also say this. Perhaps what we have here, the threefold utterance of the word earth, is perhaps it's a reference to the threefold ministry that is seen in the person of the Word Himself. For in Christ we have here, perhaps suggested to us, His ministry as prophet, priest, and king. You know, there is no way for any man to approach God without the full ministry of the Lord Jesus. He must be to every man his king. He must be to every man his priest. And certainly, every man must hear the truth of God as the Lord Jesus presents it as our great prophet. Or if you want to synthesize that down, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Perhaps you could even take those words of John 14:6 and apply it to this. I am the way, the truth, the life. Perhaps these three instances of hearing the word earth is a call that reflects the threefold nature of the work of God among men. You say, what is that? God is known among men in three ways. He is first creator. He is also redeemer. And He is also judge. And for each time this is spoken, perhaps you have each of those offices, if you will, of God being displayed. Oh, earth, 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 here's Creator speaking. Here's Redeemer speaking. And here's the Judge of all that is speaking forth. It's time to hear the word of the Lord. In fact, we might say it this way, all of the works of the Lord by themselves even draw men's attention to the words of the Lord. Creation itself, that which God has created, speaks of the Lord. The Lord's redeeming work in all its fullness speaks of the Lord. And certainly those direct words of judgment draw men's attention to the Lord God. You know, it is interesting that there are so many that would suggest to us that mankind, much of mankind, is ignorant of the law of God. Let me say this to you. That whole idea that mankind lives in a darkened world completely ignorant of the things of God is a farce. If mankind is ignorant, it's because mankind has made himself ignorant by the refusal to hear the truth of God, or that they have perverted the law of God to such an extent that they don't recognize it anymore. You say, really? That sounds very harsh of you to say that perhaps there's people in some desolate place who don't know the law of God. No, they do. In fact, that's exactly what Paul mentions when he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who have changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul is saying, fallen man readily takes the things of God and he perverts it to the place where he can actually either create himself another god or more likely even worship himself. But he worships the creation more than he does the Creator. There's the condition of fallen, depraved man. And I say perhaps there is an application to be made to all of these suggestions. But the point to be made is that with the resounding Sinai-like trumpet call of God. Men are summoned to give ear to the word of God. The one who speaks is the Lord itself. And it is because men will not hearken to God that he stands in the place where certain judgment is to come. So who speaks? It is the Lord. In all of his attributes, in all of his offices, it is the Lord who speaks. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, we might ask, secondly, what is said? As the Lord makes this call, what is said? Well, you have it there. It says, hear the word of the Lord. Now, some may point out, and with good reason, that the one speaking is named Jehovah, the Lord. So, it is the covenant God that is speaking to those that he has owned as his own. That may be true. But what is being said, though, I say, does not just simply rehearse the terms of the covenant. The Lord is not asking them just simply to review the things that are the promises of God, but to hear what God says is his mind, his will, his commands for his people. In fact, let me say this. It is the particular responsibility of those that say they are the Lord's to hear and obey the voice of God. John 14, verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now there's a word. The Lord's going to manifest himself to us? How? Well, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9, you have an answer. The Lord says in that day to those people, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments, and I underscore those words with you, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. There you have an indication of what it means. That when the Lord manifests himself, he first gathers his people to himself. There is a calling, there is a drawing, there is a pulling of the hearts and minds of the people of God to the Lord himself in that place where he is to be found, the place of the word of God, the place of the worship of the Lord. The Lord will pull in the people of God. In fact, you might even say that sounds very much like a revival, brother. Our God providentially leads his people to a place of fellowship with himself. And I say, you see in that a deliverance from that which traps and ensnares. The Lord frees, the Lord gathers, he brings to his own heart those that are his own. Let me tell you what, when the Lord Jesus manifests himself to you, you will know, you will sense that you are being brought to the Lord Jesus, that you are being led to the Lord Jesus, that there is something at work in you through the Spirit of God that brings you to the feet of Christ in a way that perhaps your heart would not have done by itself. The Lord gathers. But also I will say this. There's something to be noticed from the word chosen in Nehemiah 1:9. He says, bring to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. There's an indication that there is to be witnessed the effect of the presence of God. Not only does the Lord mean to bring us to where he is, drawing us to himself, but we will be a people that will witness the effects of the presence of God. I say that is the blessing of those that Christ says, keep my commandments. I will draw you to myself, and you'll know the effects of my being with you. So, having said that, what is being said then by the Lord? Hear the word of the Lord. I say it is this. There must be utter care given to the seeking and the doing of the will and way of God. That is a point. We are to take care to do what the Lord says. We are to take care to fulfill what he says in the word. Psalm 103, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Remembering his commandments to do them. It is a tragedy. It is a sad thing that we in our day have so many that would try to unwittingly, I have to be charitable, they are unwitting in their doing this, but they are doing it nonetheless, and that is that there need not be a concern to keep the commandments of God. There are things that are more important. In fact, I even heard a man preach a recording, but it was yesterday, I believe, or else Friday night, I can't remember which one, was suggesting, or actually was offering a condemnation on evangelical fundamentalists and their strict ways, their rules, their regulations that deaden, all the things that they say you have to be careful to do, and so forth and so forth. And on top of that was the thought, what we need then is to do the opposite of that, is that we need to let down and not be so careful and concerned about those things as we are concerned the person that we're dealing with. Let me tell you this. Let me just simply say this. Doing what, in fact, they would even, the implication was, if you are doing these things and you're careful to do the commandments, you are doing wrong. What is right is that you set aside those things for the consideration of the person that you're speaking to. Let me say this. Doing what God calls for is never a sin. No matter what any man will say, no matter what he can conjure up as a reason for it, whether it sounds noble or not, doing what God calls for is not a sin. Or may I say it this way, to be careful to obey is not transgression. For some to call for us to throw off the instruction of God in favor of coddling the rebellious is no virtue. To say that what we're doing is setting aside that which is strict and that which is rigid and that which is a rule in favor of something that is perhaps not in line with the Word of God, that we tolerate sin, that we're not willing to condemn sin, that is no virtue. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Do the word of the Lord. Well, I run to my next point. Why was it said? Why was it said? Well, the obvious answer to this question is perhaps the most powerful. God speaks in this fashion because it is the course of rebellion within man to be an obstinate child. He does not want to listen. The reason why the Lord is saying what he's saying is because men don't want to do. they have all kinds of reasons and they can conjure up all kinds of justifications for themselves not doing what God says. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Let me put this other word up against what I've just said. I'm going to read to you a few verses from Isaiah chapter 1. And I ask you to allow that to be heard in the light of our subject at hand. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, hear, O heavens. Well, now the Lord is not speaking to the earth, but he's speaking to the heavens. But the same instruction is there. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The Lord is saying, hear, hear, because the way of mankind is to turn away from the word of God. And I will tell you plainly that it is the way of the wayward to say, there is no binding word for me. There is nothing there that in the scriptures that tells me I have to be a certain way or live a certain way. The second reason why the Lord says this is just as obvious, and that is that he is desirous for the people of God to turn around and come to him in truth. Not only does he say that mankind is wayward, that mankind is full of himself and his own ways, which leads to rebellion, the Lord says, I want you to come back. And I ask us tonight, why is it that we have to, as the people of God, why is it that we must languish? Why must there be defeat for us? Why must we create for ourselves another way of defining blessing other than knowing righteousness and seeing God move? You say, what are you saying? Redefining blessing. That's exactly what we do today. We call the gospel a success if it does a work that is entirely different than what the scripture says. The gospel, if you will read the scriptures, calls men away from sin. It lifts them away from that which destroys. There is no place for men to sit in their sin until they feel that it is time to come to God. That's an invention of man. It is an invention of the enemy to say, you just stay where you are. You just stay in your sin, and gradually you will come to truth, and gradually you will come to the place where you'll be able to go on with God. I say that's the lie of the devil. Even in the context of a rebellious Israel going into captivity and bondage, we see God's truth. They were willing to tolerate sin and make sin a non-issue. Do you understand that that's what's being done today? Sin is becoming a non-issue. You don't have to deal with people about sin anymore. You just do certain things and try to convince them that they ought to be a Christian. No reference to sin. Men will become righteous as they will, in their own time, as they are drawn to it in their own minds. My point to you this evening is this, that God's truth is that the people of God are to hate sin. Men will not arise and come in their own time. They will sit until they are destroyed. The call of the gospel is to leave sin and come to Jesus. Leave sin and have a transformation of life, like the demoniac of Gadara. Come and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, a completely different man, turning from that which is old, turning from that which is the former way, putting aside that which is the way of life, completely renouncing it and making, as it were, a clean break from it. There's the call of the gospel. And I say when the Lord moves, that's what you see happening, that men are delivered from sin. And we don't need to go around redefining what blessing is, what a moving of God is, if we see some people that have decided to be reformed in some way in their life. And so I say, what is being said here by the Lord is essentially this: come back to me. Hear the word of the Lord. So, that leads me to my last point, and here I'm done. Wherefore, we must heed. What does the Lord expect of us? Again, the point is plain. We are to hear, but we are to hear with a purpose. You're not to let it go in one ear and out the other. My mother used to say that all the time. It used to drive me crazy. My mom had a basket full of sayings. And I know she used to say them in a certain way with the intent that it go with an impact to a certain part of my mind and heart. Or else it came with an impact to another place that I won't mention. Having it go in one ear and out the other. That is not for the people of God to do with the word of God. We are to hear with a purpose. We are to hear and to do as our God says. What was the issue here with these people to whom the Lord is speaking in Jeremiah chapter 22? Well, very plainly, it's idolatry. We are to love the Lord our God. Do you understand idolatry in its simplest of definitions? I mean, you can define it any way you really want to. But idolatry in its simplest definition might be this. It is to love something or something other than God or something along with God. To love something other than God or to love something along with God. The Lord does not allow that. I am a jealous God. That doesn't mean that He has the sinful emotion of jealousy, but rather He says, I am exclusive. I will not allow or have my people to have their hearts set on other things that are destructive to them, that are not a blessing to them, a help to them, a blessing to them, or of myself. We are to love the Lord our God. And as those that love our God, then, as He says here, we are to simply give ourselves to listening for the voice of the Lord. What does that take? When does that happen? When we follow the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Hear the word of the Lord. Well, let me just conclude by asking the question, what will happen when the people of God do listen and do follow? You know, the Lord gives us that answer also in the very next chapter. If you read verses 5 through 8, of course, this is a messianic word, but it certainly is speaking to the people of God of what they will expect when this one comes. Verses 5 to 8 of chapter 23. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Very much different from the one that the Lord says, you've got a king now that reigns and will not prosper. You'll have a king that will reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and led the seed of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. The testimony has changed. Now it is not that he did something long ago for our fathers, but the testimony is he's done something for us. Oh, that's the expectation, that the Lord will work for us, work amongst us, if we are those that will hear. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Again, who speaks? What's he say? Why does he say it? And what does he expect? Well, may the Lord allow his word to reach our hearts tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray now that thou will bless the word of God. We pray that you will use it within our souls to make us to be those who in truth give ourselves to walking with our God, heeding what he says, doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Lord, let the word do its work, we pray. And now for these who are thy people, I pray that thou wilt go with them through the course of these days that are ahead. I pray that thou wilt let thy spirit speak. I pray that thou wilt allow there to be the protecting from all the wiles of the wicked one. May the word of God be sweet. Lord, bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.